Well, morning everyone here at Church in the Marketplace, and g'day if you're listening online. We pray that God will bless you as you join with us today. Well, it's the first Sunday of Lent. We're headed for Easter. Easter Sunday, when God turns everything upside down. I mean, not dead Jesus. Resurrected Jesus. New life Jesus. Headed for his home with God in heaven. Jesus. And because Jesus promises resurrection to us, he promises heaven to us, we're going to explore resurrection and heaven over the next few weeks. Truth is, a lot of times we're just not too excited about heaven. We're much more interested in earth. I think the reason we don't get excited about heaven is we have a faulty image of it. We just don't realise how exciting and how incredible, how so much better than earth it's going to be. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't mind a bit of earth. I like earth. I love the occasional sunset, the sky, the mountains, the expanses of water. We live in Sydney. I love the harbour and Bondi and Manly. I love the view out of the heads from Ian and Pamela's place there at Fairlight. I like Australia a lot. In spite of the fact that it's broken, that nothing actually works the way it ought to work, no relationship is perfect, no human body is perfect, except yours, of course, no weather is perfect. Nothing is perfect on this planet because, in Bible language, sin has broken the planet. But this is all we know, so we can't completely understand just how full of wonder heaven really is. Most of our ideas about heaven are twisted because they come from Hollywood. Heaven is not going to be all white. We are not going to have wings. You are not going to be an angel. In fact, not even a little chubby cherub. We're not going to wear a white robe. We're not going to float on clouds. We're not all going to play a harp all day long. So today we're going to look briefly at the real thing. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the promise that we are heaven bound. Forgive us if we misrepresent that, if we misunderstand that in our lives. And we pray that as we come and search your word this morning, that you will show us just a little more about what is in store for us, and that you would charge our hearts so that we are excited about what is in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's start in Colossians. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honour and power. The realities of heaven, Paul says. Well, what realities can we discern about heaven from the Bible? First of all, what is heaven? Well, these are some things we know. It's where God lives and rules. Through the Bible, it's called the dwelling place of God, the house of God. It's sometimes called the city of God. 31 times, Jesus calls it the kingdom of heaven. It's where God lives. But it's more than that. It's also where God reigns or God rules, if we're going to use the kingdom sort of analogy. Psalm 123 says, Lord, I look up to you, up to heaven, where you rule. Second thing we can say is it's a real place. It's not a state of mind. It's not a state of being. It's not some disembodied condition where we're going to float around without a body. It's not nirvana. It's not nothingness. It's not a dreamlike state. It's not something intangible and ethereal. It's not a feeling. It's a real place. In fact, the Bible often describes heaven like a city, a place. Partly because we can only wrap our minds around physical sorts of ideas. There are streets and trees and water and homes. One of my favourite Bible texts is John 14. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Notice he says, I'm going to prepare a place, not a state of being, a place. If this were not so, I'd tell you plainly. So heaven is a real place. Jesus says in Matthew 6, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and rust can't destroy it and where thieves can't break in and steal it. If heaven was just a state of mind, of being, of consciousness, we couldn't store anything there. But he says you can store up treasure in heaven. Heaven is where God lives and it's a real place. And this is a great thing. Heaven was designed for us. Specifically designed for us. How amazing is that? God not only designed the earth for us so we could live and it could sustain our lives, he also designed heaven for us, not for himself, but for us. The Bible says, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you." Heaven was prepared for us. And it was prepared for us from the foundation or the creation of the world. When God started thinking up earth, if you like, he also started thinking up heaven, because we're not just meant to live here. This is not all there is. There's more to life than just here and now. We're going to spend 80 years, give or take, on this planet. And really, that's a good thing, because we don't want to live in an imperfect place forever. We want to live in a perfect place. Folks, this is such an amazing expression of the love of God. The Bible tells us that God created the entire universe because he wanted a family. He wanted a family that would live with him. Now, God wasn't lonely. God has never been lonely, because God is fulfilled in himself. And he's in a relationship to himself, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a couple of sermons all in itself. But he's not lonely. He said, "I want to express my love by creating human beings, and I'm going to make them in my image." Now, we are not gods. We are never going to be a god. We are going to be human. We're not going to be a god in heaven, and we're not going to be an angel in heaven. We're going to be a human being in heaven. Ephesians 1:5 says, "God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure." 1 Peter 1 says it this way: "God has reserved a priceless inheritance," that's heaven, "for his children, and it is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." So what is heaven? Well, heaven's a place where God is preparing for his family. The Bible says this is God's purpose, that when the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are in heaven, those who have already died, or on earth, those who haven't died yet, to be with him in Christ forever. I want to scream behind us. Hebrews 13:14 says it this way: "For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come." So once we become a part of God's family, there's a whole lot more to life than just here and now. Really, this world isn't our home. We are just passing through. Our ultimate home is in heaven. It's a real place. It's where God lives. It was designed for us. So where is heaven? The answer is we don't know. All we know is this: heaven is not a place on earth, regardless of what the songs say. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 53, verse 2, I think I've got it for you. God looks down from heaven at people on earth to see if there is any who are wise and who worship him. So while we don't know the location of heaven, it's a specific place, and we do know the way. Jesus said, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me." So what's heaven like? Helps if you keep up, Peter, doesn't it? Okay, what's heaven like? This is the one that people really want to know the answer to. The Bible says that heaven is a mystery. It's not real helpful, is it? Part of it is we just don't have the mental capacity to understand other dimensions when we live in a three-dimensional world. We live on a planet that rotates around the sun and has a 24-hour rotation, and so we have a concept of time. If we weren't living on this planet, we wouldn't have the same concept of time. Job 11 says, "Can you understand the mystery surrounding God Almighty? They are higher than the heavens and deeper than the grave. So what can you do when you know so little? And these mysteries outreach the earth and the ocean." 1 Corinthians 2 says it this way: No eye has ever seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So I don't really know, and even the things I'm going to share with you now are just a pale explanation of what heaven is like. But the Bible does give us some important information on heaven. I'm going to give you five things that will not be in heaven and five things that will be in heaven. Here we go. The first thing that's not going to be in heaven is sickness. The Bible says everything in the heavens has a body and so does everything on earth, but each one is very different. These earthly bodies will die, but the bodies that are raised will live forever. Our ugly and weak bodies will become beautiful and strong. Yes, God. The Bible says that there won't be any sickness in heaven. Why? Because we're going to get a new perfect body. When Jesus was resurrected and briefly came back to earth, he walked in and he sat down and he ate a couple of meals. Scripture says, just as each of us now has a body like Adam's, that means we have a human body, so someday we shall have a body like Christ's. Second thing, no sadness. The Bible says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When we get to heaven, there will be no more sadness. That's a good thing. No more broken hearts, no more rejection, no more loneliness, no more sorrow, sadness or grief, no more heartache. That's heaven. No suffering, the Bible says. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more scorching heat. No sin. The Bible says God will bring you into his glorious presence, innocent of all sin and with great joy. Heaven is a perfect place and I'm not perfect. And neither are you. All have sinned, Scripture says, and we've all fallen short. We've all blown it. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. Nobody lives a perfect life. But heaven is a perfect place, so how can God let imperfect people into heaven without messing it up? Well, that's what Jesus came to do. When we go to heaven, he says, we will go innocent of all our sin. One of the things that's going to happen is when we see Jesus face to face is our character will be instantly changed to be like him. It's still going to be the same you. People are going to recognize us somehow. We're still going to have our personality. God wouldn't waste what he's put into us. God isn't going to take who he made us to be and then turn us into some sort of robot when we get to heaven. But he says our character is going to become like the character of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the moment that I no longer have any hang-ups. That I no longer have any fears. Can you imagine what it will be like to live with no fear, no guilt, no resentment, no worry, no bitterness, no anger, no envy, no jealousy, no loneliness? Perfection. But you are still going to be you. It's going to be great. No sadness, no suffering, no sin, and no death. The Bible says there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, and no pain. All of that will be gone forever. Those of you who are living in chronic pain, that's good news. We get new emotions, we get new character, and there's no death. Those are five things we won't find in heaven. Now here are five things that we will find in heaven. The first thing we're going to find in heaven is reunion with every other believer. Scripture says, this is God's purpose, that when the time is right, he will gather us all together from wherever we are to be with him in Christ forever. Who's going to be in heaven? Hebrews 12 says, you have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the gathering of countless happy angels and the church, every believer, composed of all those registered in heaven and God who is the judge of all and the spirits of righteous people made perfect. Who's that? That's the people born before Jesus who in faith lived and listened and looked forward to the promise that God had made, one day I am sending a Saviour. And, of course, Jesus himself. They're all going to be there in heaven. One of the most common questions I get is, what about babies who die? What about those who never knew Jesus? Friends, Scripture says they will be in heaven. Why? Because we're not responsible for what we can't understand or know. The same is true of a child who grows up to full adulthood but doesn't have the mental capacity to understand the love of Jesus. Here's an example. David had a child who died at birth. David said this in 2 Samuel, "Now that the baby is dead, I can't bring him back to life, but someday I will go to be with him. If you've had a miscarriage, that baby is in heaven. If you've lost a young little one, that child is in heaven. If you know someone who for some reason of their mind can't know Jesus, the Bible says they're safe. So we're going to have a reunion with those that we love in the family of God. Second thing, the Bible talks about rewards. You say, what are we going to be rewarded for above the reward of heaven itself? Well, you read Scripture and it's almost everything. Literally everything. The Bible makes it very clear that God sees everything in our lives. We will be rewarded for our actions that were good. We'll be rewarded for our words that were good. We'll be rewarded for our thoughts that were good. We'll be rewarded for our character and our decisions that were good. We'll be rewarded for our prayers, for our generosity, for our service, for our sacrifices. We'll be rewarded for our persistence in not giving up when we felt like giving up on doing the right thing. The Bible says we will be rewarded for loving our enemies. Here's a couple of examples from Scripture. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Or, in the Gospel, if you even give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Or love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, and don't be concerned that they might not repay. Then your reward in heaven will be very great. The third thing that's going to be in heaven is responsibilities. We're not going to sit around on a cloud doing nothing in heaven. That's one of the reasons people think they won't like heaven. They think I'm going to be so bored in heaven. There will be nothing to do. Are you kidding? God is the one who wired us and who shaped us. He knows what we're interested in. Where do you think you got your interests, and where do you think you got your hobbies, and where do you think you got your skills and your talents? Where do you think your spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experience came from? God's going to use our shape in eternity. We'll have to work in eternity. Here's the difference. We're going to enjoy it. There aren't going to be any heartaches with it. We're going to be fulfilled. Our role and our responsibility in heaven will be meaningful and will be fulfilling and will be enjoyable. What's our responsibility? What are our roles going to be in heaven? Folks, I don't know. It's based somehow on how faithful we are with roles and responsibilities God gives us on earth. Life is like a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. God sees how responsible, how dependable, how faithful, how trustworthy we are now, what we do with what we've been given. And if we make the most of what we've been given, God says, I'm going to give you more in heaven. The fourth thing in heaven is rest. Blessed are those who die in the service of the Lord. They will enjoy rest from their hard work because the results of their service will go with them. What's done for Jesus will last. There will be reunion, reward, responsibility, and rest in heaven, and then rejoicing. We are going to worship in heaven. We're going to fellowship in heaven. We're going to celebrate in heaven. We're going to enjoy each other in heaven. Yes, we are. We're going to enjoy each other in heaven. We're going to love each other in heaven. We're going to party in heaven. Jesus said, when you get to heaven, I want to be able to say this about you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I'll give you more responsibilities. Let's party. And God knows how to party. We're going to share the glory of Jesus. We're going to be co-reigning with Jesus. That's the way the Bible says it. What does that mean? It means if you imagine a big movie marquee that says, now starring in eternity, Jesus, co-starring, your name. The bottom line is here on earth, we get to practice all the things we're going to do in heaven. We're going to love God in heaven. We're going to love each other in heaven. We're going to serve God in heaven. We're going to believe God in heaven. We're going to honor God in heaven. So what does God want us to do while we're here on earth? Practice. So that when we get to heaven, we know what we're doing. How do we get to heaven? Romans 1:17 says the good news tells us that God made us ready for heaven. He makes us right in God's sight when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, the man or woman who finds life will find it through trusting God. That faith and trust is a process of admitting our need of God, believing on who Jesus is, our Saviour, of committing our trust to Jesus and depending on God's faithfulness. John 3:16 reminds us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have heaven, everlasting life. That's how we get to heaven. We put our trust in Jesus. And lastly, how should we live if we're going to heaven? If we know we're going to heaven, we need to understand that that completely changes our value system. That turns things upside down. All of a sudden, we're no longer living for just the here and now. The other thing that happens is when we understand that our future is secure, it makes us less stressed. We're more at peace. We're not so uptight about getting our dues while we're here on earth. So what do we do if we're going to heaven? Here very quickly is three things. Don't be distracted by temptation. Remember, we're just passing through, so we don't let temptations catch us off guard. 1 Peter says, we're only visitors here on earth. Since your real home is in heaven, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They're not for you. They fight against your very souls. Well, Hebrews 11, talking about the heroes of our faith, said if they wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of this world, but they didn't want to. They were living for heaven. Now God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has made a heavenly city for them. Folks, even good things can distract our lives. We can give our life away for a hobby. We can give our life away to climb the ladder of success. We can give our life away for fame or pleasure or travel or all kinds of really good things. And there's nothing wrong with many of them. But they're never meant to be first thing in our lives, to dominate our lives. So don't be distracted by temptation. Secondly, don't be discouraged by trouble. When we live in the light of heaven, trouble needn't bother us as much anymore. We don't give up. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, this is why we never give up. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. This is the guy who, when he wrote this, he had been beaten. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been put in prison. He'd gone without food, without clothing. He'd been persecuted. He'd been left for dead. And he says, yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever in heaven. So he says, we don't look at what we can see right now that troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys of heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Colossians reminds us, let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. So, third one, focus our energy on what will last. Paul says, I run towards a goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, forgive me for being distracted by things that aren't going to last. Forgive me for giving in to temporary pleasures, both bad things and even good things that aren't really what life's all about. Help me to live in the light of eternity. I don't want to be distracted. I want to live in the light of the fact that I'm going to be with you in heaven someday. Help me not to be discouraged by the troubles I'm facing. Help me to trust that you will use even them for your good. Lord, I want to refocus my values and live for what's going to last and what's going to matter most. Lord, help us to be a part of your church here at Church in the Marketplace. Help us to publicly identify ourselves as believers, as members of your family. Help us, those who are going to be baptized, help us if we haven't thought about being baptized to make that commitment. Lord, thank you for the promise of living always in your presence, more completely, more fully, more wonderfully than we have ever known here on earth. And thank you that it comes to us through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you in his name. Amen.